Welcome to OnlyFans Q&A Live, a question and answer show exclusive to OnlyFans and Miami Dolphins Discord server. Now here's your host, Alf.
And we're on, and welcome to season two. This is not 3YPC, because 3YPC, we just had our seventh season. We just started our seventh season, which means we've been on the air for 7 years doing this podcast. Must be that 3YPC is pretty good, right? Well, this is season two of OnlyFans Q&A Live. If you wish to participate in these Q&As, which we do every single week, except for the 1 week I give myself a break right after the Super Bowl. If you want to participate, you come to Discord and you go to discord.gg/OnlyFans. And you can become a member there for $3 a month. All right. Very eventful day today. Chris Greer spoke to the media, and I will get to that in a little bit, but I'm going to start with this first, okay? NFLPA did their annual player survey. Dolphins killed this thing, okay? I'm going to read you off the entire report card. Of course, Twitter and the miserable fucks on that app managed to try to turn this into a negative. But I'll read you the entire report card, and I'll tell you what I know of each of these facilities. All right, treatment of facilities, A-. They finished third out of 32. That's pretty good. Not treatment of facilities, but treatment of families. I wouldn't know. I don't have a family of a player. Food and cafeteria, an A, first out of 32. I can testify to that. It's great, okay? Their food there is really, really fucking good. It just is. Like, if you go there for training camp, and I was there every single practice this past season, they feed you every day. They give you two options always, you know, or two choices. And it's usually a healthier option and less healthier option. Man, the food's good, period. Like, their food is good. Like, I would legit grab like two or three if I could and bring them home. You know, like, it's that good. Their food is very, very good. Like, last year, I remember, and I was telling this story earlier on OnlyFans, there was a day where they had a chicken Caesar, and I was like, man, chicken Caesar, like, get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? You know? And the choice was a brisket sandwich. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, these guys are feeling themselves. Are they trying to poison us here today? Trying to give us a brisket sandwich at Dolphins training camp? Really? A brisket sandwich. So, of course, I said, you know what? I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to get this brisket sandwich, you know? How bad can it be? Maybe it's not too bad, you know what I mean? Maybe I just eat the brisket. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's not good. I'll just throw it away. End of story, you know, and I'll go have lunch somewhere else. I get it. I open it up. It looks okay. It doesn't look great. Take a bite into it, and I'm like, whoa. The fuck are these people doing out here? Yes. Their cafeteria is grade A. Very, very good food in that place. Nutritionist, dietitian A, second out of 32. I don't know. The locker room A, third out of 32. Yeah, the locker room is really, really nice. Spacious. Beautiful locker room. Brand new. Training room A, first out of 32. It's absolutely awesome. I've been on the cardio deck. Cardio deck, you have basically two spots you can go to. Okay, on the cardio deck, you have your weight room. You could drop down, and then there's training staff downstairs. There's training rooms downstairs, and you could walk onto the practice field through there. It's absolutely gorgeous training room. It's an absolutely gorgeous weight room. Okay, training staff, A-, which is first out of 32. Remember all these all the bullshit everybody was talking about? Oh my God, you got to fire everybody because everybody keeps getting hurt because somehow the training staff is responsible for people getting hurt. I guess that was a bunch of bullshit. But like I've always said about Twitter, if you wanna find out what is correct, go on Twitter, see what the conventional wisdom is today, and the opposite will be true. All right, weight room A+. I covered that. First out of 32. Strength coaches A. Second out of 32. That's pretty good. Team travel, A. How the hell will I know? First out of 32. Head coach, A. Eighth in the NFL. That's not bad. There's a lot of good coaches in the NFL. Ownership, Mr. Stephen Ross, A+. That's first out of 32, which means Stephen Ross already won this offseason. Too bad he got a first and a third taken away from us. a year ago. But, you know, it is what it is. So, yeah, somehow Twitter managed to make this into a negative. All right, I will take some questions. I don't think we could get into what Chris Greer talked about. It's the video is right there. He sounded a very optimistic tone with Wilkins, an even more optimistic tone with ABG, a less optimistic tone with Robert Hunt. He basically kind of revealed that Robert Hunt was turning down offers during the regular season. I'm endeavoring to find out what were those offers like. That's going to be difficult to do. And he sounded a neutral tone on Connor Williams, and he gave some hopeful banter to Xavier Howard, and I will explain why that's probably bullshit. All right? I will bring you on. As I bring you on, you identify yourself, and then you can ask your question. Our queue is absolutely loaded right now, and we got plenty of questions. I'm going to try to get to every single one of them as they come in, and they're still coming in. All right, as I bring you on, identify yourself so the audience knows who you are. All right, you're up.
Hey, Alf, what's up, V-Sniper?
Hey.
Yeah, I was just kind of cherry-picking. I think you kind of mentioned some of it. One of my questions was, like, Hunt, with him wanting to test free agency, do you think, like, he's probably going to get a contract we're not going to match, right?
It's not looking good. Now, here's the hope, okay? Kevin Dotson's out there. Kevin Dotson has a better reputation than Robert Hunt around the league. At least I think he does. He's a great player, by the way, for the Rams. Watch him. If he blows out the market with one of these ridiculous offers, then Robert Hunt is pretty much as good as gone because Kevin Dotson's going to have bidders. And I think that whoever loses out on a bidding war for Kevin Dotson is probably going to turn their eyes to Robert Hunt and dump the money on Robert Hunt. So in that regard, I would say that, yep, he's as good as gone in that regard.
So you're thinking like Tooney money, like Joe Tooney?
Something big like that. Yeah, like if Kevin Dotson signs for Tooney money, Robert Hunt's going to sign for a little less than that, and we just can't compete for that. And I'd love to have Robert Hunt here. He's one of my favorite players on the team. He's one of the better players on this team. But, man, you know, we're going to start paying.
It's not like best guard in the league money, though. Good.
And even
though,
if you
right?
did have, like, even if you did had a first, if you had a first ballot Hall of Famer at guard, are you going to pay him $17 million a year?
No. We ain't got, they didn't have Tooney in the Super Bowl and the AFC Championship game, and it seemed to work out all right.
Yeah, nobody cared. Yeah, so, yeah, man. Look, I hate to be dismissive of it, but it's a fact. Yeah. He's a guard. You know what I mean? You know, and I know, yep. I understand he's important. And I know what I've said before about having left guard, center, right guard sorted out, but at some point you got to say no, right? We got defensive ends, wide receivers we got to sign, you know, edge rushers, defensive tackles, maybe even Wilkins is in the balance, and now you got a guard hitting you up for $17 million a year. That's going to be a problem. That he turned down an offer, you know, that's instructive as well. I gotta try to see if I could find that out, what those numbers were. Usually when you reach out to an agent, they might tell you because they want it out there, but there's no guarantee that they're actually telling you the truth, and more likely than not, they're probably lying. So, you know, you got anything else?
I can see that. Yeah, I'm looking at a lot of the mock drafts. I'm seeing a lot of offensive tackles, in the first round. Seems like a pretty deep offensive tackle draft.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, we kind of see in the draft, you know, more of the premium positions going ahead of, say, like, you know, the Jackson Powers guy, the Oregon center, and, you know, the other center from Duke, Barton. What would you think kind of falls to us there at 21? I mean, that's mythical, right? We don't know. Free agency hasn't happened yet. But with the choice of, like, a top OT on the board or a top edge and, you know, even the Oregon center, like, what direction you think, you know, we would go?
I think they're going to go a premium position. So, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You know, I think they're going to know and they're going to telegraph where they are with Connor Williams on draft day. If JPJ is there and they don't take him, maybe they're kind of telling you that they have something worked out with Connor Williams later on in camp. And remember, there's not going to be a richer team in the NFL than the Miami Dolphins come June 2nd. Okay? So come June 2nd, Miami's going to be flush with cash, and they're pretty much going to get whoever they want at that point because they're going to have all the money to be able to spend on those late signing vet free agents. So, you know, I think they'll telegraph some there. You can't pass up a tackle when you essentially are essentially trying to push Teron Armstead out the door, it seemed like, this past week. Although Chris Greer said, look, we'd love to have him back, but, you know, what is he going to say? You know, retire, Teron. No, he's not going to say that. But no matter what,
what are you going to do with him, though? I mean, do you cut him if he wants to play and you take the cap hit, or do you just keep him and pray?
I think you keep him and pray, and if you do draft somebody, you have a really good understudy, you know? And then, you know, the writing's on the wall, which means Teron Armstead will play the season, if he does play the season. And you have his replacement, you know, waiting in the wings. You know, I think that's the way it'll work out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I would see it, but yeah. I don't know.
If they do use a draft pick, they use a draft pick on an offensive tackle, then you're talking about using a ton of resources at left tackle. And it's precisely what you don't want to do, especially this year where you need to shore up some backup spots, you know?
Yep.
All right, man.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. As I bring you up, identify yourself for the audience so they know who you are. All right, you're up.
Hey, what's up, Al? Queens Mechanic, Inside Leverage. Thank you for having me. I haven't been here in a minute. Question. Is there a likelihood that Robert Hunt could be tagged as opposed to Wilkins? Maybe they feel more comfortable. Because you mentioned about the optimism with Wilkins and the contract possibly being had. So is there a likelihood, or would it make sense to tag Robert Hunt?
Do you know the number, the tag number on guards?
I do not.
I'll look it up right now. All right. Franchise, we call this looking up stuff on Google while the audience listens to me look up stuff on Google.
Because essentially it just came up to my mind as we were talking about the optimism of, you know, how with Christian Wilkins and then AVG, and then how unlikely it seems with Robert Hunt, he wants to test out the market. So I wonder if there's a switch in the minds of, why don't we tag Robert Hunt?
Okay.
Because we know we're going to get a deal.
All right. Yeah, you got me?
Yeah.
Okay. 2024 franchise and transition tenders, right? Franchise tag, they make no distinction on offensive tackle or offensive guard. So the franchise tag is $20,985,000. So $21 million.
No way.
The answer.
Yeah, no way.
Okay. There's not a chance in hell that they're going to tag him. So, yeah.
That's unfortunate.
That is unfortunate, you know. So that's not happening.
So then my second question is, how do you feel about the guys behind him, like Hines? Will they even consider Robert Jones coming back? Is he likely a guy that could possibly come back and kind of maybe compete to start?
Yeah, I think I think Robert Jones is a Dolphin next year. Okay, I think that's happening. He's restricted. They'll bring him back. It's too much of a no-brainer to not bring him back. Okay, so he'll be back. Does he get a starting job? I'm not so sure. I think they might go into free agency to fill that spot with a cheaper option if Robert Hunt walks. Chasen Hines, you know, some really like him. I think CK even likes him a little bit. Okay, so that's a guy that we want to look at. You know, especially in camp, he's going to get an opportunity, especially if they empty out left guard and right guard this season. And remember, Isaiah Wynn is still out there, but it's becoming even more clear by the day they're going to have to use draft picks to at least fill one of those spots at the guard spots. The good news is if you use 21 or if you use 55, you're going to get a good one This is a really, really good guard draft. So it's going to be hard to miss, you know. But then again, you know, you can always miss in the draft. You know, it's crapshoot. It's the draft. It's not an exact science. But there's a lot of prospects we really do like. A lot of guys that have really, really solid tape. Like, I would take, like, look, normally I'd rather vomit than take a guard at 21. But I'd take Christian Hayes at 21, and I wouldn't. Like, if they took Christian Hayes at 21, guard out of Connecticut, like, I wouldn't mind that. Dude's a mauler. I think that guy.
How do you feel about a guy like Troy who can play, who is potential inside, but can, looks like he can play inside, but, you know, he has experience as a tackle. I think the kid from Washington. I mean, is that a good value at 21?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, because he'll start the season at left guard, and then the following year he's your left tackle, you know? So he makes Troy Fatano, is who you're talking about? Yeah, he makes a ton of sense, of course. Yeah, at 21. Yeah, there's a lot of guys that you could take at 21, and I'm pretty damn happy about it, and make a lot of sense, you know? You know? What I don't think makes a lot of sense is a cornerback. Because I think they know the way forward, and Chris Greer kind of alluded to it today. You know, when a GM volunteers names out of the blue and he said Cam Smith, Kader Kohu, he's saying Cam Smith and Kader Kohu are in our plans next season. So, you know, I would look for cheaper free agent options to back them up and push them a little bit, and a later draft pick, like maybe a day three draft pick to round out the defensive backs. But I wouldn't say They'll take one at 21. I think that's a position you could cross off at 21. Unless, you know, you never know. You know, maybe something ridiculous happens and somebody drops. But I think you could cross that one out. I think edge, offensive line, tight end is what's, and one particular tight end is what's on the table at 21. And I think they'll look at it. Pass catcher, at wide receiver. Many could drop to you at 21. That would be, like, do you say no to Brian Thomas? How can you?
You can't.
It's one of those things. All right, man. You got something else?
Nope, that's it. Appreciate you.
All right. Thank you for participating. All right. I think we got one more, and then I'm going to get to questions that are in the chat. All right. You're up. Identify yourself so that way the audience knows who you are.
Hey, good evening, Elf. Good evening, everyone. I'm Dundee Dolphin. You can find me on Twitter under that name.
All
right. I'll ask you a bit about the running game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we should take a premium running back in free agency? If so, who? And if not, what do you think the plan is to improve the running game for next season?
I think to improve the running game, I think they're going to have to get themselves, and this is going to sound weird and counterintuitive, they're going to have to improve the third pass catching option to improve the running game. Teams are going to have to continue because they did it toward the end. They started seeing how if Tyreek Hill is out, if Jalen Waddle's out, they could take some gambles against our running game. You improve that third pass catching option, and it's going to keep teams off balance. It's going to keep them in too high shell. And if it keeps teams in too high shell, you could run on them, and you could run with leverage. So if you're talking about a premium running back, I think Derrick Henry at the right price makes a ton of sense because you just play those three guys. And it's not like you're going to give Devon Achane 15 carries a game. You're going to give him his opportune carries, you know, the 5 to 8 per game. But you want to get him the ball out in space, especially in the passing game. So, you know, a two-headed monster of Mostert and Derrick Henry running the football, I'd be all for that. Other than that, you know, I don't think they're going to go too deep, and I don't think they're going to spend too much money. And when I talk about Derrick Henry, I'm talking about getting him at a bargain basement price, a team-friendly price because he wants to be here, you know? So, like $8 million APY, can you swing 2 years, $16 million, and guarantee 10 of it? Like, is that palatable? I think so. Something like that. $5 million guaranteed per season. You know, a $10 million total number. I think that's what they would want to spend. But I wouldn't be surprised. Look, they kicked the tires on a lot of these guys this past season. I would not be surprised if they actually did it again. You know, there's a reason why. You know, and I understand Mostert had a great season, and some are saying, oh, you see, he proved them wrong. Like, they went out there to go get, you know, Jacobs and Barkley and all of these other guys. And meanwhile, Mostert went out and had 21 touchdowns, had a monster year, so he proved them wrong. That's not the way they're going to look at it. They're going to look at it as, yeah, Mostert proved us wrong, but he's also 32 years old. So I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised in the least bit if they went out there for a running back. All right.
Is there anyone else? He seemed like an obvious, you know, who wouldn't pick Derrick Henry? Is there anyone else that you're aware of that's there at the moment that you think would also do well for us?
Gus Edwards from the Ravens makes a lot of sense. And
he does.
You know, and maybe Anthony Weaver has an insight there. I don't know if Anthony Weaver, you know, has any connection with him, but maybe he does. So maybe that could help. The Ravens kind of have their own issues. They're going to have to allocate some money to pay. They're losing essentially their entire offensive line except their left tackle. That's a problem. So the Ravens have a lot of fish to fry, and I don't think that going out there for Gus Edwards is something that they're probably willing to do. I think they could easily – they probably think that they can easily replace him. So Gus Edwards is a guy that I would really, really look at as far as being a complimentary back to what Miami already has.
Yeah, he solves a few problems, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, I'm going to get to some questions in the chat. I actually had one that was DM'd to me, which is all kinds of interesting. Which players currently on the Dolphins roster that we didn't see much of last year do you think will contribute much more in 2024? That's an obvious one. Look, if they don't go out to get a running back, I think Chris Brooks is going to contribute this coming season. And the more obvious answer is Cam Smith. Okay. I think Cam Smith is a starter this coming year. I like him. I think he's going to be a good player. So Cam Smith is the answer to that. Chris Brooks is my second guy that you didn't see much of this year that you could see a lot of next year. All right, and let me get to some of the questions in the chat, and then we could call it a show. Did you see the projected contract extension for Tua? Your thoughts? Yeah, I loved him. About $55 million APY, about what, $165 million guaranteed? Sign me up. You could get him for those exact numbers. Let's do it. Yeah, I'm fine with it. Love those numbers. Do you see Miami cutting Armstead with their second post-June cut and using that money on extending next year's free agents? That's a great question, and I'll tell you why it's a great question, because you could do precisely that. All right? Teron Armstead could. Remember when I was saying it made no sense to cut Emmanuel Ogba last year because what the hell are you going to do with the money? Well, this year's there's a difference. You could cut Teron Armstead this year, and you have actually something you can do with the money. Last year, there was nothing to do with Emmanuel Ogba's money. So that's why he was going to play last year, and then you were going to cut him this year. Armstead, man, there's a possibility that you cut him, and you're using that money on something. Okay? Most notably, your own players a year from now. So that's a possibility. But I think the strongest possibility is he returns for one last year. And on an adjusted contract, I doubt it. I think he'll just play on his number, and then he'll be gone. All right, next question. How possible do you actually think X comes back at a reduced number if the market doesn't give him what he wants? Of our remaining free agents, which ones do you think we could get by just fine without re-signing? So those are two questions. The first question is about X. Does he come back at a reduced number? Hell no. Okay, and I'll tell you why. The guy who's most comparable to Xavier Howard is Stephon Gilmore, I think. But not now. I'm talking about Stephon Gilmore in his situation a year ago. He signed a two-year, $20 million deal with the Colts. Then he got traded to the Dallas Cowboys. I think X out in the open market will get that. And I do not think Miami will want to pay that. So mark me down, okay, for Xavier Howard, 2 years, $20 million with the Dallas Cowboys. That's my call. Second question was, of our remaining free agents, which ones do you think we could get by with just fine without re-signing? Deshaun Elliott. Not that he's bad. I think he's great. I think Deshaun Elliott's a really good player. But you can find those guys. Those guys are there available for you every single year in free agency. And you don't believe me? Just look at how everybody else signs these guys. Look at what happened to Geno Stone. Look at how Geno Stone ended up with the Ravens. Okay? And now everybody's talking about Geno Stone as a guy that, oh, you're going to go out there and spend for. No. You can find those guys. You know, good, capable safeties on cheap one-year or two-year deals. You can find those guys. Okay? Ideally, I do want to bring back Deshaun Elliott because once you found something good, you want to keep it. I think he returns, by the way. I think Deshaun Elliott is, he stays. He stays on a new contract. Okay? I think Deshaun Elliott and Andrew Van Ginkel are the most likely returnees. All right, next question. At this point, is Hunt as good as gone? I was at 85% about 3 weeks ago that he was coming back. I went down to 50% like 2 weeks ago. I think it's below that now. That he turned down an offer during the regular season is a bad sign, which means he has a view of his market. Kevin Dotson becoming available is a problem as well, because I explained a little earlier, Kevin Dotson will have suitors. Somebody will go out there with a big-ass contract for Kevin Dotson. Maybe you get lucky. Maybe the contract for Kevin Dotson is not as big. Maybe it's a bad contract. You know, maybe it's 4 for $50, but I doubt it. I think he's going to get a big contract. And then usually when you have teams that are bidding for a guy, the loser of that bid is going to look at number two on the list. And number two on the list most likely will be Robert Hunt. And then Robert Hunt will pick up the scraps. And those scraps will be way beyond what Miami would want to pay. Next question. How much is too much for Robert Hunt? I think if you're getting past $12 million APY and you're guaranteeing more than 65% of that, that's a problem. Can't do that. Not for a guard. You know, I don't even care if the guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I just don't think... I think you could get that impact elsewhere, okay? You could put that, allocate those dollars elsewhere and get as much of an impact. Next question. You said you're in on Derrick Henry at the right price. What price is that? I already said $8 million APY, 2 years, $16 million. Let's call it 2 years, $10 million guaranteed, $5 million guaranteed per season, $10 million total guaranteed. Maybe you could guarantee his entire contract for this season. I'm absolutely down on that. Like, I'll take that. And it's not that I'm going to give him 300 carries either. You know, maybe 150 carries in the regular season. You know, with some spot duty. Maybe 180 carries in the season. Mostert gets the other 180. Achan gets 100, but Achan gets 200 touches total on the season by catching the ball as well. That's a good allocation of resources, I think, for your three running backs. And remember, there are always injuries. Next question. If you had to guess, which positions do we take in the draft? For example, tackle, guard, tight end, cornerback, linebacker. What is your football background? Oh, my football background? I played in high school and I coached it at three levels. I coached it at Peewee, at 140s, and in high school. Position coach, by the way. And I did receive a scholarship to Ohio U. Not Ohio State University. Ohio U. Different school. All right. He wants me to call the position. I think at 21, it's going to be either a tackle, guard, or center. So either an offensive lineman. Or one very particular tight end, Brock Bowers. Or, and I don't think I'm coming down the mountain with the tablets here, an edge rusher. I think those are the four positions. I think you could toss running back. You could toss cornerback. You could toss linebacker. You know what? And include, of course, wide receiver. I think they could have an extreme opportunity at 21. There might be a guy that they're extremely high on that they'll look at 21. They'll say, we're pushing it to wait to 55 for this guy. Let's just go get him. All right, another question, and I think this could be the last. Thoughts on Saquon Barkley? Yeah, love him. Great player. I think he's going to have a pretty robust market, which means that his number could creep into 10. And if it reaches to 10 APY, I don't think Miami will bid on that. I think Saquon Barkley will have a robust market. So now, what are my thoughts on him as a player? Love him. Great player. You know, one of my favorite running backs. Has had an injury history. Missed a couple of games this past season. One last question, and then we could get out of here. Thoughts on Isaiah Simmons as a possible safety? Hate it. Too slow for safety. Really, really fast for a linebacker. He can play in Jerome Baker's role if Jerome Baker's not brought back. I think Jerome Baker will be extended in the coming week. And if he does, and if he does not, if he's not agreeable on an extension, that's going to lower his cap number this year. Which, why would he not? I think he could be cut. But Isaiah Simmons, he's a possible replacement for Jerome Baker. Here's the problem. If you go on SpoTrack and you look at his projected cap number for the season, they have him at $16 million APY. I don't know how the hell they got there by that number. This is a guy that kind of busted out of Arizona. At $16 million, no chance whatsoever. At $16 million, I'd rather get Patrick Queen, and I'd rather have neither one. I'd rather have Jerome Baker. I don't want to spend too much money on a scrape linebacker. I just don't, unless he's absolutely special. And none of these guys are special. Not even Patrick Queen, not Jerome Baker, not Isaiah Simmons. All right, we're going to end it right here. Through RPC, we'll be back on Thursday, as we are every single week. We're going to start previewing the Combine, the NFL Scouting Combine, and on OnlyFans. I mean, you can become a member there at discord.gg/OnlyFans for $3 a month. We will be covering the Combine every single 40, every single shuttle run from Thursday to Sunday. But anyways, we will do this every single week for the rest of time or until the week after the Super Bowl. This is season two of Q&A, OnlyFans Q&A. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to OnlyFans Q&A Live.